popular friends lies and pass one on to you. Well, how do you think that I found out that Henry needs new shoes? But I'm convinced that she could find something better.
Welcome to another episode of Gossip Talkin' Blues, the podcast from Great Dark Wonder. Hi, this is Leslie.
And this is Martin.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We're thrilled to focus this week on the newest album from jazz singer Amy Cervini called No One Ever Tells You. Amy is from Toronto, but currently is based in New York City, which is where she's speaking to us from. Hi, Amy.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're great. You recently released this new album, and I think you described the songs in it in one of the interviews I was reading as songs of love, struggle, and empowerment. Can you unpack that a little bit for us?
Yes. Well, that's what I was hoping to do with this record for myself, sort of, is unpack all of that. So I will tell you that the tune choices sort of, they were organic. And then I noticed afterward that there was sort of this theme of, you know, there's a lot of songs about love, which is sort of how the world works. But there was also this thread of sort of, you know, trying to understand what was happening and trying to understand the struggles that I'd been going through. A lot of songs are about love, in general, sort of in the repertoire. There was also this sort of theme of struggle and, trying to, figure out life and answer questions. And then there's a few, you know, there's a few empowerment sort of things, some, you know, depend on yourself kind of anthem-y songs and you know, Hit the Road, Jack, which is just always really fun to sort of sing and yell at someone. So it was sort of just the songs that I was drawn to and the lyrics that I was drawn to help me through whatever I happen to be going through. You know, I'm a mom and I'm an artist and I'm of a certain age, shall we say. I'm not afraid to tell people how old I am, but I'm 40, and that's sort of, you know, you're trying to, my kids are a little bit older. I have a little bit more time on my hands and I'm trying to figure out what to do and how to do it. So.
Wonderful. Well, Amy, among the covers and standards that you've included here is a rendition of a Lyle Lovett song titled God Will,
yes,
which we will go ahead and play momentarily. However, I wanted to ask you first, since I wasn't overly familiar with the song, I went back and sought out the original, gave that a listen, and instantly noticed that you slowed the tempo right down and your performance is a lot, shall we say, darker. What was it that drew you to this particular song and, more importantly, to the changes you incorporated?
Well, so I actually didn't know this was a Lyle Lovett song until after I knew it. I learned it from the great Canadian vocalist Holly Cole, and she has it on one of her records, and then I realized it was a Lyle Lovett song, and I went and listened to that version. But for me, the slowing down, I think my version is even slower than Holly's. I think the lyric was just so clever, and I wanted it to have space to come out, and I thought it was also a little angrier than the other interpretations. I really felt like, you know, this was someone saying, you know, this is the last straw and I am done. And there may be someone out there who forgives you, but I am not that person.
Awesome. Okay. Well, let's go ahead and pause momentarily and play Amy Cervini's track, God Will.
Trusting you when you've been cheating, spending your nights on the town. Who keeps on saying that she still wants you when you're through running around? keeps on loving you when you've been lying, saying things ain't what they seem. Well, God does, but I don't. God will, but I won't. That's the difference between God and me. God does, but I don't. God will, but I won't. That's the difference between God.
God Will from Amy Savini, a wonderful cover there of a Lyle Lovett track. Amy is joining us today, and Amy, you previously played saxophone before focusing on vocals. So how has your instrumental background contributed to your singing career?
I think it really, really helped me. I was a singer kind of by default growing up, just because I was a saxophone player in a big band, and they occasionally needed a singer, and so I would do that, and then I got involved in vocal groups. But it was never something that I studied as a child. And even when I went to college, I didn't seriously study voice until, you know, my last year, sort of, I made the official switch over to just being a voice major. And I think what that did for me is that I have a very, very strong theory and history. I played classical piano for years and years as well. So all that stuff was together, and then I got to focus on telling a story. So I had that sort of theoretical background, and that was already sort of in my ear and in my brain, and then I could just figure out how to, you know, tell the story on stage. I think it helps with my being able to improvise for sure, and to be free melodically to do other things, to not stick to exactly what was written on the page, which of course in jazz is what we do a lot. And I also think it gave me a different, there are a lot of singers, and I actually am not dissing this at all, who sing with a great love of their own voice, sort of. Their goal is to make the most beautiful sound they can all the time. And I think because I came from a different background, I choose not to do that. It's just not my, that's not my strength. I think I have different strengths, and I think that comes from having been a horn player.
Right. And speaking of, you know, sort of taking things and making them your own and improvising, one of the most intriguing pieces on the album, at least for me, is your version of Surrey with a Fringe on Top, which for those who don't know, and hopefully they will go out and search out the whole musical, is from the musical Oklahoma, We're definitely going to play that for folks. But for those who do know the musical well, I think your version may be a bit of a surprise, as it's a very reflective take on the song. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about how you take songs that are so familiar to listeners and make them uniquely your own.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think for me, so many of these songs have been done so well in a certain way. And unless I can find my own way around it, I feel like it's not worth recording, certainly. I mean, singing live is a different animal altogether, but to capture a moment on record, I feel like I need to have a unique approach to it. And with that particular song, I started doing it. I'm a big fan of Blossom Deary, who's a great singer and pianist, actually. And she recorded Surrey as a ballad, or it's a little bit of a walking ballad. So it's not exactly slow. It's certainly not Oklahoma speed. And it's not the really fast tempo that a lot of jazz singers take it at. And then from there, we ended up just taking ours way even further, which again, to me was this, you know, I live in New York City and things are so fast. And I'm getting, you know, to the point where I'm ready to stop or slow down mm-hmm. a little bit and, you know, be able to sit and enjoy looking out the window and not constantly be going somewhere. And this song sort of has so much of a story in it and so many interesting words. And I thought, why not just like sort of sit in that and let it take you for a little walk, instead of rushing through it or, you know, doing the regular version. And it becomes something really different.
Right. So let's take that walk with Surrey with a Fringe on Top and let folks hear it for themselves. Here is Amy Cervini singing some Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Chicks and ducks and geese better scurry when I take you out in the Surrey. When I take you out in the Surrey with the fringe on. Watch that fringe and see how it flutters when I drive them high-stepping strutters. Nosy pokes will peek through their shutters and their eyes will are yellow, the upholstery's brown, the dashboard's genuine leather, with eyes and glass curtains you can roll right down, in case there's a change in the weather. Two bright side lights winking and blinking. Ain't no finer rig I'm thinking. You can keep your rig if you're thinking that I'd care to swap. for my shiny little Surrey with the fringe on the top. I can see the stars getting blurry when we ride back home in the Surrey, riding slowly home in the Surrey with the fringe on the top. I can feel the day getting older, feel a sleepy head near my shoulder, nodding, drooping close to my shoulder, till it falls kerplop. The sun is swimming on the rim of a hill, the moon is taking a header. Just as I'm thinking all the earth is still, a lark will wake up in the middle. Hush, you bird, my baby's sleeping. Maybe got a dream that's worth keeping. Whoa, you team, and just keep creeping at a slow clip clop. Don't you hurry, little Surrey, with the fringe. Don't you hurry, little Surrey, with the fringe on top. Don't you hurry, little Surrey. Don't you hurry, little Surrey.
Once again, we are chatting with Amy Savini today. So, Amy, you just happened to mention Blossom Deary, which brings me to that particular topic. The track Bye Bye Country Boy is a Blossom Deary track that you pay tribute to in your 2012 album Digging Me, Digging You. Mm-hmm. So what is it about Blossom Deary in particular that you admire the most?
You know, she has certainly a very unique voice, or she had a very unique voice, and she is sort of no nonsense in the way she uses her voice. She is minimalistic. She swings really, really hard. But she doesn't have a lot of those extra little, you know, pyrotechnics that even someone like, Ella Fitzgerald is a tremendous singer, and she can just sing the melody exactly as written and blow you away. But she also has a lot of, you know, fireworks, and she can she can do kind of gymnastics with her voice. And that wasn't Blossom Dearie's thing. And I think something about that spoke to me, because I tend to prefer that way of singing, probably because I'm not very good at the other way of singing, you know. And I also love that she's a pianist. I think it informs how she sings and what she sings. And when I was young, I actually was singing in a competition, and the judge said, it sounds like you've been listening to a lot of Blossom Dearie. I love that. And I thought, oh, I don't know who that is. So I went home and checked it out and fell in love immediately. So there was something about the way I was approaching the music and the song that was simpatico with her from before I even knew who she was, which I love. I mean, I love that it just kind of happened that way.
Right. Changing topic just a little bit. As we mentioned earlier, you're from Toronto, but you currently live in New York City. And I think a lot of other Canadian jazz musicians have made a similar migration. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, New York City has a stupendous music scene. Do you think the jazz scene in Canada is strong enough that some musicians who have migrated might consider going back? Or is New York sort of the logical next step that you take when you're building a career in jazz?
You know, I think it kind of depends. I ended up in school in the States at the New England Conservatory in Boston. And from there, I was actually headed home. I mean, I didn't have the New York dream. But I met my now husband, and it was his dream. So I thought, you know, I'll come along for a year. We'll see what happens. And then once I got here and we started, you know, we built a life here. So mine was, I actually left Toronto when I was 18. I was just about to turn 19. So I didn't have much of a career. I was just in high school when I lived in Toronto. I think the scene in Toronto is certainly very fertile, and there's a lot going on, and I know a lot of great singers in particular who have great careers in Canada, and I don't think they have much of an ambition to, I mean, I'm sure they would love to come and perform in New York more often if it was easier, you know, if it wasn't such a circus to try and get a visa. But I think there's enough going on there that they're sort of, you know, they're doing very, very well for themselves. And I have friends who have moved back. There's a great singer named Lila Bialy, who's still very active in the States, but who moved back to Toronto. And I see the appeal of that. New York can sort of take it out of you a little bit. And while there's no comparison, I mean, New York is sort of the place to be if you want to do this music, but it's hard, and it's certainly hard to break into. I mean, I was doing it when I was pretty young, so I had strength and stamina, but I don't know if I had not been here the whole time, if I would have ever made the decision to come here. And I certainly consider, you know, I consider going back home more and more these days, frankly, but, it's definitely, it's at this point, I would be breaking into a new scene that's very strong at 40, which it does not sound like a good time.
So we're going to play one more tune from you. This one is one of your own compositions titled I Don't Know. So which is more challenging, writing your own songs or interpreting standards, and why? And is there anything else that you can tell us about what inspired this particular song?
I think they're equally as hard. It's not, lyrics don't come super easy for me. Except in this case of the songs just kind of fell out of my mouth. But there's something about, having written the song that now when I go to sing it, it is all me. I never have to like sort of find my place in the song. It's, you know, it is of me and is an honest sort of story that I'm telling. So that definitely makes it easier in a way to interpret. But then the writing process is just, I mean, unless for me anyway, I know everyone has a different way, and some people are really diligent about writing and they write every day, even if it's horrible, they just, you know, keep churning stuff out. I'm not that person. So if it comes fairly easily, then it's a song that makes it into the world. And then if I get stuck, they're just ideas on my iPhone, basically. So I really love finding other people's tunes and songs that have not been sung a lot. And I love doing those. I probably do that way more often. I think that's definitely easier for me.
Okay, great. Let's go ahead and play I Don't Know from Amy Savini's new album, No One Ever Tells You.
Me to treat you this way. I don't know why I did it, and I don't know why you'd stay. Don't know how to fix it. All I can do is say that I love you, then get down on my knees and to say. I don't know what possessed me to treat you this way. I don't know why I did it, and I don't know why you'd stay. I don't know how to fix it. All I can do is say and get down on my knees and pray. And I don't pray. Thank you.
you so much for joining us. It's been such a pleasure. Amy, would you like to tell people how they can find out more about you and how they can buy your music in
particular? Absolutely. My website is amycervini.com, and it's C-E-R-V as in Victor, I-N-I. And the music is available on iTunes, at Amazon.com. It is also available on Spotify and at Anzik Records. And we have an online store. It's anzikstore.com. And that's available there as high-res download and also physical copies. And check out my tour schedule because I'm hoping to make some rounds and hopefully be somewhere near you.
Awesome. Well, Amy, again, thank you so much for taking time to join us today. And anybody listening to this podcast, they may detect the odd firework. We are recording this around the U.S. Independence Day holiday, and everybody seems to be getting a head start on those festivities. Well, this has been an episode of Gossip Talking Blues, the podcast from Great Dark Wonder. For more articles and content about Canadian music, please visit our website at greatdarkwonder.com or look us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, or Pinterest. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, TuneIn, or Google Play. And thanks once again for listening, and tune in again soon for some more great Canadian music.